This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about vehicles that are shaped like food items for promotional purposes.
Not food trucks.
Necessarily. Most of them do not actually serve food.
Yes.
But here with us to discuss this amazing topic is Scott Benjamin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for the invite.
Oh, of course. Scott, you used to do a podcast here at the Stuff Media called Car Stuff.
Yeah, that was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
We did it for—
But long what, running.
9 years.
Oh, my heck.
Yeah.
That is a minute.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah.
We did a promotional vehicle podcast.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
We did, but
so you're old hat at this.
Maybe a little bit different slant, though, because ours was not just food stuff. It
sure.
was a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Easter egg, I guess. But when I first started as an intern, I edited Car Stuff.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah. You're right.
I was so nervous about it, and you and Ben were so nice. I was like, oh, okay. You're like, oh. Whatever, you'll be fine.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
His your co-host was, of course, Ben Bolin, who who y'all listeners may have heard in our ranch episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's still around.
He is.
He's
absolutely.
Everywhere.
He's oh yes.
True.
He's with us right now.
Is he like the Borg? Is that what they're all about?
Resistance is futile. It's true.
Yep, very much. So one of the reasons we're talking about this is because a couple of months ago when the Super Bowl was in town, Lauren received a very interesting electronic communication.
Yeah. So I got this marketing email, and I get a lot of marketing emails. But this one, the subject is just Wienermobile. And I open it, and it reads, "My name is Haley, or Habanero Haley, and I am a hot dogger for Oscar Mayer, driving the iconic Wienermobile on a coast-to-coast weenie roast. We're in Atlanta until Monday. My co-pilot, Ketchup Kyle, and I are having buns of fun on the hot dog highways, and we want to invite you along with us. We will be in various locations in the area. We would love to offer you and your team a very special insider look at this 27-foot-long hot dog on wheels and an opportunity to sit in our shot bun front seat. If a private meeting is not possible, here's where we'll be this week to visit us in action." And she gives us a few locations.
But so that's like six puns right there.
I know. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Well done.
Oh, extremely.
Oh, goodness. And so, you know, she gives us this list of locations. But of course, I was like, yes, come to our office, please. And they do, but all of this comes together on a Thursday night, and the only time that they can make it over before they leave town is 8 a.m. the following day on Friday. So, like, 10 p.m., I, like, excitedly mass email the entire office and text Annie and Dylan and Andrew and go, like, Wienermobile is coming, like, red alert.
Yeah, I remember where I was. It was, like, 10 p.m. I look up. Way too loud of a gasp.
And I, you know, I get into the office probably as early as I have ever been here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's only what, like, maybe seven people were kicking around the office at the time.
Maybe less.
But I went up to every single one of y'all. Scott was one of the humans who was here. And I said, very seriously, the Wienermobile is here. Do you want to come?
No hesitation. Yes.
Every single person who was here said yes. And it was beautiful.
It was.
It really was.
And it was a cold day.
Oh, yeah. A cold January day.
And we marched out. We were in like a line.
Like a formation. I felt like we were the Fellowship of the Ring, but for hot dogs.
I know. And you posted that tweet. I was like, that is so true.
Yep. And there it was.
Yes,
there it was. Right, parked right on the street. It was parallel parked. Shiny, beautiful, waiting to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. There was a crowd of excited children and parents because there's a preschool right next to where it parked.
It's funny, but, man, that thing draws a crowd, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
As you would expect, I guess. And they parked right outside of a school. So, of course, you know, parents and kids and everybody's excited. People walking by with their dogs in the morning before they go to work. It's fascinating. Yeah, how often do you see that on the side of the road?
Exactly. And that's why we want to stress here that this is not a sponsored episode. It is just so fascinating.
Yeah. They did give us a Wienermobile, like, piggy bank.
Coin bank, yeah.
And some stickers.
Uh-huh.
And weenie whistles. I actually didn't get one, and I'm trying not to be mad about it because it's my own fault. I didn't, like,
you
say
didn't,
anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Me neither.
I've got one that I haven't opened yet. I could give you one.
No. I can earn another weenie whistle. I always think of the Santa Claus, how, what's his name?
Oh,
Judge
yeah.
Reinhold's character stopped believing in Santa because he didn't get a weenie whistle. He just needed to find the Wienermobile.
You know, it's a common misconception among Judge Reinhold, so.
Yeah, all Judge Reinholds agree.
Santa does not provide those, hot doggers do.
Mm-mm. And we got to interview these Habanero Haley and her
coworker, Ketchup Kyle.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you'll be hearing from them a little bit later in the episode.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, that brings us to our question. What?
the Wienermobile is a promotional form of transportation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, product recognition.
Yeah, sometimes these are called product mobiles or marketing mobiles. And, yeah, they are a wider category, as you said, Scott, outside of just food-shaped things. But, yeah.
Yeah, they're driving something that looks like the product that they're selling. And that it makes, like, an instant connection with the people that they're trying to market to. They say, oh, when you see the Wienermobile, there's nothing you can mistake that for. It's definitely the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. And now there are other companies that make hot dogs, of course. But
oh, sure.
Since, what, 1935, we've known that is the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Mm-hmm. And there are other manufacturers, I guess, or food companies that create vehicles that have the same type of response in us, that we know instantly what that product is when we see that vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you were here in the office and that you did come with us because they gave us the opportunity to ask questions at the end. And you asked really great, like, questions about how to make the vehicle and how it works.
Oh, yeah. I had a whole different
yes.
line of questioning than everybody else, I guess. But I was just curious about other things.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like miles per gallon and things like that, you know.
Which was great.
How aerodynamic is the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile? And, you know, like, it just – where do you sleep in this thing? You know, that kind of thing. Like, it's a very strange vehicle.
Oh, it really was. Before we get into all of that, let's talk a little bit more generally about this product of promotional vehicles and how they work and some of the history.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have a brief rundown of food-shaped vehicles, and I feel like—
A few examples from history.
Yeah. And I feel like you could contribute here, Scott.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
I am sure.
I've got a bunch listed as well.
So okay, to give us an idea, though, as to how early in the history of cars this kind of thing happened. Scott, when did cars become a thing?
Oh, gosh, 1890s, okay. Mid-1890s.
Okay. The first example I have of one of these things is from 1906. Can you beat me?
I think that there were some wagons, some horse-drawn wagons that were actually, you know, if you give me just a second, I'll be able to come up with that. I'm sorry.
I want to hear about a horse-drawn
wagon. Okay, there was a product called Moxie. And there were some Moxie bottle wagons. That's a kind of soft drink.
Soft drink, right. Yeah,
and
we talked about Moxie.
And this is just before 1900, so just barely before what you're talking about.
That's great, though.
Horse-drawn wagons that had the shape of a Moxie bottle. Uh-huh. And it was an upright bottle. It wasn't like in the long way like we would think it would be with a normal car or whatever. But it was an upright vehicle. And, again, it was just the same type of thing where, you know, it was just meant for product recognition. It was something really, really unusual that no one had seen before.
Sure.
And, of course, it drew attention. They'd take it to fairs. They would take it to, you know, drive it through the middle of town if they were trying to, you know, just gain popularity for the brand. It was just – it was a something sort of unique at the time. I don't know if there was anything prior to that that was shaped like this, a vehicle.
Yeah.
But a horse-drawn wagon is pretty early. What was from 1906? I'm really curious now.
I found reference to a beer bottle shaped car from that went to a brewer's exhibition in 1906. It was Worthington Brewery, and yeah, the body of the car, like the passenger area, was built to look like the butt end of the bottle, and then the bottleneck came up the front of the car so that the crown cap rested right between the headlights, and I haven't seen – I'm not sure about this first original one. I know they had to retire it for a couple years during World War I, but they'd bring the idea back in the 20s when they outfitted a Daimler with a beer bottle body to promote this IPA. And they would – to promote the IPA and to drive advertising materials into pubs.
You know, to be fair, 1906 – I mean, this is the first time we're talking about a car, really.
Sure.
So that's – you're probably on track here with, like, the very first – marketing car that we're talking about, or promotional car.
Yeah, just about as soon as we had cars is what I'm saying. People were turning them into food shapes.
Oh, yeah.
Just makes sense.
Bizarre, isn't it? Yeah, sure.
Humans are so weird. And by the way, if y'all listeners aren't car humans, if you don't know what a Daimler is, they, at this point in time, were the provider of cars, the official provider of cars to the monarchy in Britain. So what you should be picturing here is like the fanciest, Britishest car of the Edwardian era and just shaped like a giant bottle. Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful collision of things.
It's great. Yeah.
And then not long after that, there was another one, right? The peppermint car?
Yes, the peppermint car. It looked like a big tube of mints.
Yeah, I think I've looked at that one carefully, and it's early, right? It's like 1918, mm-hmm. I think, and it had wooden wheels. I mean, it could have been just about any make, I guess. I haven't really investigated this, but I mean, we're talking about like the era of the Model T.
Yeah, yeah. I think that one and maybe another one. I found one from 1910 that was thermos. Created a replica of its like iconic thermos flask that was a drivable vehicle.
That's cool.
It apparently had a mahogany interior.
Oh, nice. Rich.
I suspect that both of these were like custom. Well, I mean, of course, everything. there's no production.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, we should just quickly mention that like every one of these is custom, of course. Even if you make 10 Wienermobiles, mm-hmm. each one is custom. They're all going to be a little bit different than the other one. There's going to be something that makes that one stand out from the others. They're not identical in any way.
Right.
Which is kind of, I mean, that's interesting. There's no manufactured promotional vehicles, really. They don't come off the production line like that.
Can you imagine handing the guy, like, this is what I want? And he sees, like, this giant hot dog, like,
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, built on production vehicles, but each one is, like, it's a one of a kind, every single one of them that you see. So they're pretty interesting because maybe we're talking too much about the Wienermobile at this point, but
no.
when I was around and in that thing, I got a real vibe of, like, you know, the 1970s custom vans. You know, it felt a lot like that, didn't it?
Oh, totally. I hadn't really put that together, but absolutely.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know why that was, but it just felt that way.
Yeah. I think it's also a little bit of the nostalgia surrounding the entire thing feels very like mid-century, like mid-century up through the 70s, kind of particular, just complete joy in marketing.
I didn't mean to take us off track here.
No, we love going off track.
The whole thing is off track. We're in our own food mobile and we're off-roading. Another example we have is William Black, who opened Chock Full of Nuts around 1918, and these were premium luxury-shelled nuts. Unfortunately, the Great Depression was right around the corner, and Black converted from nuts to coffee. But the log cabin Chock Full of Nuts vehicle would hit the road in the 30s. It was like a big, log cabin-looking thing.
Just driving a log cabin down the road?
Yeah.
Why not?
Makes perfect sense.
I think maybe it does. And in this realm of food-shaped vehicles, maybe.
One that makes a little bit more sense is the Peanut Mobile.
Sure.
Yes. Yes. That came out sometime in the 1920s. From humble beginnings as basically a car with Mr. Peanut on the back to a hot rod in 1999.
To an actual giant peanut shell today.
Yes.
I've seen that in person.
You have, and I'm very jealous of it.
Yeah, me too.
It was just driving down the road outside my house and stopped at a stoplight, and I was like, what is happening?
I have yet to see the Nutmobile.
Oh.
I feel like I would think I was dreaming or something.
I did. I was so shocked that I couldn't get my camera out. Like, my hands forgot how to hand.
I understand. Nowadays, it runs on biofuel and a solar power engine and is based out of our hometown of Atlanta, so maybe I will see it. Maybe we'll see it, Scott.
Maybe. I don't know. That's strange.
Side note, the mascot was the brainchild of a 14-year-old who entered a contest in 1916, a decade after Planters was founded, who drew a peanut man named Bartholomew Richard Fitzgerald Smythe. You got $5 for the idea.
That's very fancy.
Huh, it is. Yeah. He does look fancy,
though. Mr. Peanut.
Yeah, he does, with the monocle and everything.
Yeah, the top hat.
Cane. He's even got some nice shoes.
Oh, with the spats on them and everything?
Yeah, you're right. Very fancy peanut. By the 1950s, a number of accidents involving beer bottle-shaped vehicles led to the designers flipping the design around. Both Worthington and Miller High Life shaped bottle-shaped cars started appearing in the 1950s with the driver looking out of the base of the bottle rather than looking out over the bottleneck.
Is that right?
Yeah. Huh.
There were so many accidents that they had to change the bottle design.
Apparently there was a problem in England with Worthington cars like getting into accidents or running off the road that to the point that police were like, seriously, if y'all don't do something about this, we're going to ban this vehicle.
It must have the long neck must have blocked the view or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the rise of the bottleneck over the already kind of risen design of the Daimler would block the driver's view.
You need to take these considerations
you do.
In mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Stroh's had kind of one up on them, because they went with the can design.
Right.
Yeah, that just makes sense. Going off of that, in the 1980s, the Stroh Brewery Company debuted an open container, an open beer bottle complete with a 15-gallon keg.
Ooh.
Yeah, times have changed.
I remember these. The car looked like a can of beer.
Yeah.
And on the front was like the old pull tab.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a very flat front end, big round vehicle. And you drove in like this big tube almost, really. And it had kind of interesting looking pipes coming out of the front, but that were decorative, of course.
Oh,
but,
sure.
It was all like Volkswagen cars or whatever. But it was like a parade car almost. And they had Stroh's. Huh. They had Stroh's Light. They had, you know, every version of Stroh's. And then they could take those vehicles and they could make them into anything that was served in a can. So it could be Mountain Dew. It could be a V8 juice car.
What?
All kinds of things. You know, it was an interesting design, and you can find lots of photos of it online. And I think they had an old spokes dog named Alex, the Stroh's dog, that would go get its owner a beer from the fridge.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember
those commercials.
Yeah, there's like some posters of, you know, Alex driving the car, that kind of thing. But pretty much they're parade cars, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let a dog take the wheel.
There were quite a bit of them around. I mean, there were many, many of those.
That, as delightful as that is, my very favorite one that I found is this next one. Because in the 90s, Red Lobster, who we have talked about on this show before, mounted a 25-foot-long, 11-foot-high fiberglass lobster on the back of a Ford F-350.
Yeah, it's a big lobster.
That is about 7.5 meters long by 3 1/3 meters high or so. And the best part of this is that the lobster's name was Claude. C-L-A-W-D-E. Claude.
Oh, man. I looked that one up on Craigslist to see if I could buy one. But you know, every time I looked it up, it said just market price.
You should inquire. I think we could get people to support. I think you could have a jar and people in the office would donate.
You never know what market price is until you ask the waiter.
That's kind of, it is funny, though, because, usually lobster is market price.
Oh, no.
25 feet long. That's a huge lobster.
Right? Hmm. I love it. I mean, and I do feel like there's a little bit of, like, crowbar separation here between cars that merely have a food item mounted upon them.
Right. Yeah. That's a product, though, right?
But it is. Yeah. Yeah. I think it still counts. Within.
It's like a food – it's like one of these food trucks that look like a pig or something, you know? Like, we had talked about that, I know, before we got to this podcast.
Yeah.
That it's strange that, you know, you'd be in a food truck. I know we're not talking about them really, but
– No, it's okay.
They serve pork sandwiches, but the truck looks like a pig.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a pork sandwich. It looks like a pig.
And like a cartoon pig that's like grinning and happy that you're serving its brethren out of its belly.
Yeah.
It gets real meta.
Well, I guess maybe I've seen food trucks that serve lobster that have giant lobsters on them, but not 25 feet long.
Oh, sure.
I can just imagine if I was like kind of, you know, driving, I look in the rear view, there's this huge lobster behind me.
Like, oh boy, it's a Jurassic period lobster coming to get me, you know?
I wonder what the safety is in these cars. If they're having, like, wrecks and stuff.
Oh, I don't think there is any.
Oh boy. Well.
I think that the drivers are well trained and tend to be err on the side of caution.
I mean, one of the most impressive things to me is that Wienermobile parallel parked in that space.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just 27
like how?
Feet.
How?
I have trouble in my tiny car.
It's an amazing skill.
It is.
It really is. There are a lot of examples that I wanted to mention here. The Hostess cupcake car, the Cadbury cream egg, the goldfish car. It's just like a giant goldfish.
Oh, the goldfish. Do you know when that car first came out?
No.
1952.
What?
Yeah, the one that we're commonly seeing now, I guess, you know, if you search online, you know, for goldfish car or whatever, it's a lot newer. Uh-huh. There was one in 1952.
Oh, goodness my gracious.
Wow. Yeah.
And this
I had
is like
no
the,
idea.
The goldfish cracker, if you've not seen
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love those. There's the Hershey's Kiss Kiss Mobile, the Spam truck, which is shaped like a big can of Spam, and the Mars Bar truck. That one. It's hard to tell from pictures, but that one looks really big. It looks like it's...
I haven't looked.
I haven't either.
Oh, you should. You have something to look up after the podcast. Mm-hmm. And there is a ton of regional-based food vehicles. The Outspan Orange, which is this gliding orange.
Yeah. That one's built on a Mini. Like, I think an original Mini. It's an older vehicle. But it's really unique looking. It's strange. I mean, it looks like it looks just like a big orange ball driving down the road. It's really weird.
Oh, maybe I mistook that for a basketball at some point in my image searching.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It reminds me of if you're at the store and you buy those like lime juice or lemon juice in that container.
Yeah.
It's an orange. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Very interesting.
I just Googled it because I couldn't help myself, and it does appear that the Mars truck is a like 18-wheeler. That's how many wheels they come in. Yes. That's just wrapped in a Mars, like,
I mean, the
image.
Shape is already there.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You know, that's a good point, I guess, is that all of these are, you know, car or truck based, but really all they're doing is stripping it down to kind of the elements of that vehicle, you know, the chassis, the wheels, mm-hmm. the transmission engine so that it can drive, and maybe the, you know, the cockpit where passenger and a driver can sit. That's about it. And then they put whatever kind of form they want on top of it.
Yeah.
And they can create just about anything. And you find a place that can create a large fiberglass shell or, you know, maybe it's metal, maybe it's, you know, wood or whatever in the past, but it's usually fiberglass now. But really, you can create just about anything you want as long as you strip the vehicle down and know where you're starting.
Yeah, yeah. And it's super fascinating to me because it, you know, it kind of brings up this question in my mind of, like, what is a car? Like, why are cars – the shape that they are. Like, I'm sure that there's design aesthetics and aerodynamics and a number of reasons why they are shaped that way. But it's sort of like when you see, have y'all ever seen the coffins that they have in Ghana? One of the popular things to do in Ghana for funerals is to not have a coffin-shaped coffin, but a coffin shaped like anything.
Like a fish or something like that.
Yeah. Or a boat or or a banana or all kinds of incredible, beautiful designs. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of like, you know, just because we have this one-shaped thing, like, doesn't mean that that's how it needs to be done. It could be anything. Why aren't more cars shaped like
food
items?
Well, that's exactly why manufacturers love this is because, I mean, again, Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, the Kissmobile, you know, whatever it happens to be, right away, you know that's what that product is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, you know, one quick thing. Can I mention about the Kissmobile?
Oh, please do.
I have seen the Hershey Kissmobile in person, and Ben has as well. When we were in Hershey, Pennsylvania a couple years ago,
yeah.
We were there for a road rally, and there's parked outside of a museum. And we got to go up and kind of look at it and touch. We didn't get inside of it or anything like that, but it's a long, kind of impressive vehicle. It's three giant Hershey Kisses on the back, and I think they can be changed, you know, based on the season. You know, like, you know how they do, like, the red, silver, green for Christmas and red, white, and blue for 4th of July or whatever. I found out that there's more than one, and they average something like 50,000 miles per year on those vehicles when they travel around.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And this is maybe one of the most fascinating things, and I haven't verified this with more than just one source. I want to make sure that you understand that. But I had no idea. They have a refrigeration unit that they keep on board these things that holds Hershey Kisses. Guess how many Hershey Kisses they can hold?
Oh.
Just take a wild guess.
63,000.
Okay. That's a pretty good guess.
I was gonna say maybe like 20,000.
230,000 Hershey Kisses can be held in these refrigeration units on these Hershey Kiss mobiles.
Heck.
That's a lot of kisses. I mean, but I assume they're just throwing them out, you know, at parades and at events and everything. So it probably goes faster than you think.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that they even carried the product with them. And when we were there, I didn't see the refrigeration units or anything, but they must be these giant walk-in coolers or something. So a lot of these things have interesting little, you know, side benefits like that, you know, that they're able to carry the product itself and distribute them. Mm-hmm. I know that we got a little bit of swag, I guess, from the Wienermobile people.
Yeah.
But we didn't actually get a hot dog from them. And I don't know if they even do that. But
I think for the most part, they haven't. I think very early in its history, they did. And like this past year, they have served some hot dogs out of some Wienermobiles. But for a very long time, it was purely for the marketing recognition.
Could be a food safety issue or something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you're talking about like just handing out a couple of frozen pieces of chocolate, that's a lot different than cooking a hot dog an event.
Absolutely.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot of versions of these types of vehicles that have really interesting secondary purposes, I guess, you know, to kind of distribute and allow people to sample the product as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, going back to I would love to be there in like the meeting of handing that to a designer. Can you make this happen? I need 200,000 plus Hershey Kisses.
Prototype Source is the name of one. It's in California, and they're the ones that have built several of these.
Oh, yeah?
I think they built the Hershey Kiss car. They've also built or they're trying to build a vehicle that looks like a slice of pizza. They built a banana car in the past. They've built a lot of different vehicles. So, again, it's called Prototype Source if you want to look up their website. But Goleta, California, I think is the name of it. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Goleta?
Sure, yeah.
Anyways, it's some people that just kind of got into the idea of making these unusual vehicles, and it's kind of taken off for them.
I love that. What a niche thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Because that has – I have to believe that that comes from – a place of passion, like I want to design these kind of non-traditional vehicles.
You got to be a little artsy, you know, plus love mechanics. And like, you got to have all these different interests that kind of meld together into one thing. And that's got to be fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Fun career.
I want to bring back video specifically so that we can do a car stuff saver crossover and go interview those humans.
That would be fantastic. And I have to say, you all know we love our puns on here, and this world is rife with puns. Puns everywhere. I can't even keep up with how many puns are happening.
Yeah, and that is saying something.
Yes, it. You know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but it really is.
When Annie is whelmed, it's.
I am whelmed. A couple more I wanted to mention: the Boston Lobster best car, which I imagine is close to your Red Lobster one.
Possibly.
It's a big lobster.
Cool.
Like with claws outstretched. It looks kind of scary. That's why I included it. The banana car, the Maximus Minimus food truck. And that's the one that's, I think you both have been referencing, is shaped like a metal pig. It's kind of menacing looking. It's from Seattle. It looks like this kind of steampunk pig thing.
Oh. Yeah, it's scary. I've seen it in person.
Oh,
yeah, just by chance. A few years ago, we were in Seattle ready to go on a cruise or something and walking around the city, and we wandered up to these, this area where they park food trucks, and it was there. And I was blown away. We didn't eat there. We ate at some other food truck, but it was there. It was really, really fast. I couldn't tear my eyes away from it. Took a bunch of photos of it. It was, you're right, menacing is maybe a good way to put this.
It's very eye-catching, and I guess that's one of the few on here that is an example of both a, like, product kind of, like, promotional thing and an actual food truck.
Yeah, it's not the cutesy pig-looking stuff that they used usually to market, we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's a little spooky.
It is. It is.
I know it sounds funny, but until you see it, you don't understand what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I like that too, though. It's like a eat of me and beware kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. While we are on the subject of vehicles that are shaped like animals, Scott, you shared one with me earlier today that's really spectacular.
Yeah, it's different, right? I mean, it's not what you'd expect when I first say the name of it. It's called Chicken Dinner.
And I literally have no idea what it could be.
Well, you would think, right, that it's a chicken dinner.
That would be the logical thing.
It's candy.
What?
There was a chicken dinner candy.
Like a candy bar.
Yeah. It started in the early 1920s, and they made it until about 1962. And the idea was that it was kind of like a, like an expensive high-grade candy. But it was all it really was just peanuts covered in chocolate. That's it. And they called it chicken dinner. And it really was popular. I mean, it was something that people really loved it at the time. I have never heard of this myself because it's prior to my time on Earth. but, of course, it didn't taste like chicken or anything like that. It was just – that's just the name of it. And I don't know – there's got to be some kind of tie-in between, the Depression maybe, or a chicken in every pot, you know, that kind of that kind of terminology, that kind of stuff that was thrown around, here in the United States for a while. But the thing looks like, if you can imagine, like maybe at your grandmother or great-grandmother's house, if she had a like a ceramic
– like a covered dish?
Bowl, yes, like a covered dish that has a top that looks like a hen.
Yeah.
That's what the truck looked like. It was just a regular pickup truck that had this on top, and it's called, again, chicken dinner candy. Take a look at it. You know, it's made of various trucks. I was going to look up, what vehicles it was made of and everything, but over the decades, of course, they changed that. Yeah, lots of them. They've got a whole fleet of these vehicles. You can find row after row of them, really. Well, maybe a row of them at a time, and then they would switch over to a different type of vehicle. But fascinating vehicle, I thought, and what a weird name, huh? I mean, chicken dinner, you would never expect a chicken dinner candy to be anything good, but people went crazy for this thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if it has to do with, like, it looks kind of like kernels.
Yeah, that's where my mind went to because candy corn was sometimes called, like, a chicken scratch or something like that, or chicken feed. But no, I think it was just a candy bar. Wow. Some of the cross sections I saw also included, like, a caramel or a nugget kind of situation.
Really strange Nougat. Marketing. Nougat. Yeah, I mean, jeez. Isn't it odd?
Yeah, no, I love it. I love any chicken shaped vehicle. That I would completely freak out about. I'm like a little bit scared of chickens. I think for completely legit reasons because those things are mean.
What about donuts? You afraid of donuts?
I'm pretty okay with donuts.
You're okay with donuts? Yeah, I didn't think many people would be afraid of donuts, but there's a Dunkin' Donuts car. Or truck, rather.
Yeah.
Where the cab of the vehicle, this makes perfect sense when you see it, I guess. It's a Dunkin' Donuts truck. The cab of the vehicle looks like an upright cup of coffee. So you're sitting in kind of a round, upright cup of coffee with a windshield on the front. Okay. And then the back end, of course, looks like a vertical donut box with a dozen donuts in it.
Oh.
So the shape of, like the cab and then the bed of the truck makes perfect sense when you see this thing all put together.
Yeah.
But that's a brand new one for me. I hadn't seen that one until just today.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was pretty fascinating.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you have others?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Well, there's one. There was a documentary that was done, documentary in 1994. It's called Dumb and Dumber. if you remember that.
Oh. I do remember
Lloyd,
that
I believe, had a he had a pet grooming business, and his vehicle looked like a dog. Wasn't that it was Mutt Cuts.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, remember he had to lift the leg of it to put the gas.
Oh, yeah. Pump. Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
All right. That's not a food truck, but, you know.
No, no.
Great movie.
I did see others
classic.
In my searches. shaped like guitars, oil
very
cans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, so. Yeah. There's there's cars shaped like mufflers, which is really strange. I mean, there's just about everything. I mean, there's a Zippo car lighter, I think.
I've seen that one. Not in person,
I think,
but
the original has been lost. I think it's gone. But I think it was made from a 1947 Chrysler Saratoga. So it's this great big old vehicle, and it looks like a Zippo lighter right in the middle, the body of it. There's no mistaking it for that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, product recognition. I mean, it looks just like a Zippo lighter, and you would recognize it immediately when you saw it.
Yeah.
Again, not a food truck, boy.
Yeah.
I keep getting off track here.
No. It's a wider category. That's okay.
I guess. I mean, I know we're trying to stick to food. How about the McDonald's Big Red Shoe Car? That's not necessarily a food item.
But it's related.
Yeah. Yes, exactly right. So McDonald's,
Well, the Chock Full of Nuts log cabin isn't a food item itself.
Yeah. From what I can tell, you could get food. It would, stop, and then you could get stuff out the window. But
okay.
I'm not sure.
I think I've seen a lot of cars online that – these are kind of one-offs. They're not really anything that's made by, a brand that you would recognize necessarily. It's individual shops.
More of a local thing,
Sub shops. They make cars that look like subs. The different layers, like the bun on top and bottom with different layers of product in between.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty simple one, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that
easy.
Makes sense.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I could whip one up tomorrow.
I think the one I've seen the most is the Red Bull one. I see that everywhere.
Oh, how about the – okay, so that's the Mini, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Red Bull Mini with the can on the back. It looks like a cannon, right?
Yes. Yeah.
On the back of the vehicle. Looks a little bit threatening.
It does.
Have you seen the Delta Minis?
No.
Delta, because, they're based here in Atlanta, they have made some Minis that have tiny wings with jets on the sides and a tail on the back.
Oh,
and
my
they
goodness.
Paint them, on the sides with, windows as if it was a Mini – a small jetliner.
Yeah,
exactly. And they're still narrow enough, of course, that they fit in the lanes. It's not like the wings are so big that, it goes out anywhere else. But that might just be regional. That just might be here in Atlanta.
Sure.
Yeah, seems like they'd want to promote that elsewhere, not Atlanta.
Not here, because we know about them. We already, most of our airport is Delta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, there's a long, long history of people making automobiles look like the product that they're trying to sell or trying to promote in some way.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, this is humans are cracking me up with their ideas, your car ideas.
Yeah. The food ones are especially crazy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And that about brings us to our interview.
Yeah. But first, it brings us to one quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a golf course.
70 courses.
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding.
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching.
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga.
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park.
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. And yes, this brings us back to the interview that we conducted on the Wienermobile. Again, not a sponsored episode. This whole thing is just real fascinating. How this thing is constructed, the history, the way it's been used for pure brand promotion. Not like check out our product, but check out our brand. But mostly what I found myself gravitating to during this interview was just the jobs and lives of the drivers as a literally mobile marketing team. Like, their day in the life is just really far outside that of most jobs. And that's coming from us.
Yeah.
They get a hot dogger handbook with an entire page of puns.
Yes, and I am now ashamed with myself that I haven't been doing this.
Your whole life.
I need a book.
You do. Get on that.
I will.
Well, they had a fascinating kind of day-to-day schedule, didn't they? I mean, they would go from event to event to event all over, a certain region. I think probably the Southeast for the one that we met with. Mm-hmm. And, the next day, I'm going to make this up. They were going to be somewhere in Mississippi or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're always on the road, always off to the next thing. And it's a really interesting lifestyle.
Yeah.
It must be fun, fascinating, but also tiring.
It sounds to me, as an introvert, like the most tiring thing you could possibly ask someone to do.
Yeah, pretty exhausting.
But also just like amazing experience.
Yeah. And we made sure to ask, like, how fast can you get to this? Because I was just curious, like on the highway, and they can get up to speed. They can really haul some buns, they would say. It's true. I'm pretty sure they said that.
But they did, just like a regular car. Yeah. I wonder what their parents say. Did we ask that even?
About what their parents think of
this? Yeah, because, these are maybe college graduates, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder, they go to school to be, bioengineers or something and end up driving the Wienermobile for a year. Their parents have got to think, oh, boy, I hope this isn't it.
Oh, habanero, Haley.
But they probably love it. I mean, that's exactly why they're doing it, because they love it.
Yeah, no, they really did. Let's get into the interview with them.
Yeah, we're gonna shut the door. They can admire from above. I know Kyle had grabbed one of them a whistle when they were hanging.
Oh,
we were just waiting. Yeah.
Oh man, this capsule is
capsule. It's a good way to put it.
Hot dog capsule. Yeah.
It's a hot rod.
Did y'all like take the job because of the puns? Or
probably.
The handbook in here literally has. All right, we got. Don't forget your meat belt.
Oh, don't spoil it.
I know, right? Yeah. You know, I really relish this job. We mustered up the courage to get this job. A lot of people we talk to are great, but sometimes they're full of baloney. rattle off a few. Oh yeah, rattle off your favorites.
Oh, well, my favorite one is when people ask if Kyle and I get along on the road, because, of course, we have to spend every waking moment together for this job. And I like to say, oh, yeah, Kyle and I really condiment each other. Well, his name is actually Ketchup Kyle, so it's even more perfect that we condiment each other. And I go by Habanero Haley.
Oh, but, yeah. So, how?
There's a lot of questions at the Wienermobile, but it's a one-year position, and we basically just travel around with a 27-foot-long Oscar Mayer Wienermobile on a, like, crisscross in the United States, spreading miles of smiles and, you know, making magic with all of our fans.
My job is to make people happy, spread the love of hot dogs. This year's particular goal was to get a better hot dog in every hand, so we gave out free hot dogs at our events. But it's honestly as fun as it seems. Everyone's excited to see you. I mean, you know, everyone's always laughing and smiling. And if you have the right mentality for this job, it's probably the coolest job in the country.
We asked about the history of this vehicle. Here's Habanero Haley.
So way back when the original Wienermobile was an idea by Carl Meyer, who's Oscar Mayer's nephew, and he created it. It was a dark time in 1936, and they thought this would kind of brighten the mood for everyone. So the original Wienermobile came about, and with some of those first models of the Wienermobile, there were times where Little Oscar, who was the brand ambassador, I guess you could say, back in the day, he would hand out hot dogs to the fans.
And we give out something better than a hot dog, and that's our Wiener Whistle.
Heck yeah.
Everyone who sees the Wienermobile gets a Wiener Whistle. Started in 1952. And it's amazing the reactions you get from people who back then got their first Wiener Whistle when they say there's no way that you guys still do it. And we whip a Wiener Whistle out of our pocket, present it, and it's a great day.
Yeah, the cool thing about the whistle is that, you know, it spans so many years. So the older folks are like, I remember when I got my first whistle. I remember seeing the Wienermobile, or I met Little Oscar. And then the kids now are coming like, wait, what is this? Is this an airplane? We're like, no, it's the Wienermobile. This is a car. It really drives, you know. And we give them their whistle and their little faces just light up. Kids really love it.
Did you see the viral news story that just went crazy about the Wienermobile?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it reached a lot of news networks. So every year they hire 12 recent college graduates to drive the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. The only requirement is to have a BA in anything. And so the application period actually just closed till yesterday for the next round. So it's a one-year contract. Got to make the most of it.
Yeah. I guess we did something to cut the mustard because we're pretty lucky dogs to be sitting here with you guys today. People, you know what? Some adults get more excited than the kids, and then they get embarrassed. I'm like, please don't.
No.
Like, we love hearing this, you know?
Also, it's a giant hot dog that you drive around.
Yeah.
And, like, don't, like, there's no embarrassment left. Yeah. Like,
right?
Just, there's nothing but pure earnesty.
It's perfect for people who want, you know, a 9-to-5 office job and want seclusion and don't want to talk to people about this. No, I'm just kidding. Of course not. Very extroverted, and you have to love getting your photo taken, talking, and always being on, because the Wienermobile for 1 year is our personal vehicle. Anywhere we want to go with this, if we want to go out for dinner, if we want to go to a movie, you are in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Getting gas takes about as long as you'd imagine. But anywhere you go, this is what takes you.
So I'm like in your house right now.
That's
not a bad way to describe it. Well, frankly, we don't sleep in here.
We're not a
Wienermobile. No, we stay in hotels, which is, you know, very nice to...
Oh, yeah.
To have a little more space to spread out, you know?
What is the experience of driving this like? I mean, I feel like, especially on Atlanta streets, like, my Civic is a large car sometimes. So, like, what is this?
Yeah, well, I feel like the hardest part is finding a parking spot. So that's why I was arranging with you prior. Like, okay, wait, where am I going to park? But other than that, it runs smooth as ketchup. And I think everyone just kind of takes it slow when we're just, you know, cruising down the hot dog highways. And so if we need a minute, they're more than willing to be patient with us, too.
We go to a new city about every week, a new city or state. So sometimes the big cities like downtown Chicago, you know, it is pretty tight. You have to watch yourself. We're 27 by 11 feet, 27 long, 11 high. We like to say 60 hot dogs by 24 hot dogs. So some clearances, you just got to be real careful. But, you know, the visibility is great and people are always waving at you and people are pretty friendly letting us in on the highway.
Yeah, can't scratch our buns, you know. See, these are the best puns when they just...
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. How did both of you come to this job?
As part of our career, yeah. So they hire 12 people every year. And my partner, Haley, went to the University of Wisconsin. I went to the University of Missouri. Both schools are recruiting schools for hot doggers. So there is a team right now in Columbia, Missouri, looking for students who have, you know, an appetite for adventure, love people, and just want to have an experience of a lifetime representing Oscar Mayer in the Wienermobile.
There's recruitment schools.
Isn't that crazy?
Wait, we're going to blow minds here. We also have a sister program called the Planters Nutmobile.
And?
They're here.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. So we go to Hot Dog High School with them for training. The Nutmobile, there's three of them across the country. They travel with the iconic Mr. Peanut. Yep. So.
Yeah. We get to ride around with our nutty buddies, and we went to downtown Atlanta with them the other day. They had some fun stuff going on. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was awesome. You know, it was just a different experience. Riding in the hot dog or in the peanut is just... I don't know. They're unique. Can't beat it. Unique is the best way to describe it, right?
It's one of those jobs, like, the more you unpack and the more you, like, understand about it, like, I think it's really cool. Like, the crazier the story gets, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so but only a year, and then you pass the mantle on.
Yes.
Yeah.
You do. And it gives 12 new people a chance to experience this amazing journey, you know, keeps enthusiasm fresh. And then we have an alumni network of previous hot doggers who have actually gone on to do some pretty wild things. Because when you think of this job, like, it does sound funny, you know, you just hand out wiener whistles. But we are a mobile PR firm. You know, TV, radio, interviews, booking all different hotels, booking events, all of the things with the brand.
We do social media.
Yeah, when you get to the nuts and bolts of it, there is a lot more than just, you know, touring the country. But that is obviously our job.
And another really cool thing about it, too, is one of the things that drew me to it when I was kind of researching the position after seeing the Wienermobile for the first time, I was like, wait, this is a job? How do I apply? What's it all about? And one of the things I read was that there's only 13 people who are allowed to speak on behalf of Oscar Mayer as a brand, and it's the CEO and the 12 hot doggers. So we're really empowered with such an important responsibility.
And this is the actually oldest Wienermobile one right now. This is only a 2012, though. So they're constantly getting updated because a lot of miles.
Yeah, he's doing good. Each one has their own license plate. So this one is our dog. There's also Oscar Mayer, Wiener, Wienermobile. Oh, I wish I were. I'm trying to think if I'm missing any.
The best one.
Oh, yummy.
Big Bun.
That's a good one. And then there's even a mini one built on a Mini Cooper. That was the 2008 one. And it came out for the 125th Oscar Mayer anniversary. And it comes out for special occasions. So I believe it's being housed in Illinois, or maybe Wisconsin right now. And they bring it out for, you know, fancy events. So that one's really special to see. I have not had the wonderful opportunity of seeing it yet in person.
What vehicle base is this guy built on?
Great question.
This vehicle is built on a 1-ton truck chassis, V8 engine, 6-liter Vortec. We can get up pretty highway speeds.
Yeah, we can definitely haul buns. Enough to go on the hot dog highways. Okay. There was actually a little race between, a planned race between the Nutmobile and the Wienermobile once. I think the Wienermobile won, but I mean, who's counting, right?
I'm so delighted right now.
Yeah, can you imagine just like hanging out on your off day watching Netflix in the Wienermobile, just like people watching as they come by? It's really fun to just kind of like sit and just watch and see the reactions of people who come past too when you're not like at work, you know?
Do you like what kind of reactions do you guys get, like driving down the road, like even if you're just do you ever get like inured to the wonder of the Wienermobile? Like, did you forget
Sometimes you forget you're in it for a second, but you never get tired of waving or honking at people or people honking at you. That never is gone old, even after 8 months. It's exactly, I describe it as exactly what you think it would be, you know?
It still makes me giggle to see the people with the I like the surprised faces, the ones that are like shocked, like, wait, look, the Wienermobile is passing us right now. Here, quick, get a picture, you know? Or they'll like stick their whole phone out the window and I'm concerned they're going to drop it and then there will go their phone.
The coolest parts of this job, or the thing I'll remember most, is I love giving random rides away to people. So we're just people. Sometimes on off days, I'll drive around. I've made a lot of new friends in college towns by driving through and stopping, and they're taking a photo. And I just, I'm like, hey, I get on the microphone. And I'm like, hey, come on in. And just driving around. And some people are really dedicated to Oscar Mayer and specifically the Wienermobile. So having the ability to chat with them for 30 minutes in an event, and then you can be like, oh, well, would you like a ride later today? And they're like, what? And it's like, yeah, like that's such a unique part that no other job can offer, and something I'm really like thankful for. Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Yeah. I'm like, have you guys ever considered like putting like a Lyft like sticker on this and just
Yes.
We're gonna have to pass it along to corporate because it does sound like a fun idea. Can you imagine like just the reaction when you call your Lyft? It's like Wienermobile.
Two Lyfts and come the Nutmobile and the Wienermobile. Hop on in. Let's go.
I would drive that for my entire life.
Yeah, just be like your ride is, your car is arriving. It's the Wienermobile.
Yeah, it would be an Uber XXXXXL. Enough room for the family, all the luggage. Bring the extended family.
Do you guys get to be like tourist stuff when you go to different towns?
Two off days usually in each market you go to. So like we checked out the World of Coke, all different stuff. Like that's one of the perks you don't think about this job, is you do get to tour some of the coolest places. She did the whole West Coast. So yeah. And,
perk of that. I went to the Hollywood sign with my parents over Thanksgiving. They came and visited me and they were like, what should we do? We should go drive this around downtown LA and see everyone. And my parents relished it. They were obsessed with driving around with me and it was just so unique. And yeah, we made it up to the Hollywood sign and I got a picture I'll never forget. So it was so cool.
That is awesome. I'm curious, like, seems like all kinds of things you could do in here. You're saying that does, like, stereo, plays music?
Yeah, you got music inside, outside, enough room, like we're doing now, to kind of have, like, a fun sit-down party, talk Wienermobile, maybe have a hot dog if we were grilling outside. Kind of the possibilities are limitless, and that's a fun part about this job, is you get to kind of decide how best to use the Wienermobile. You know, we do have schedule, we do retail events, stuff like that, but other than that, if you have the right, like what I'm saying, personality and mentality, you can do so much with this and create memories that literally last a lifetime.
How much leeway do you guys have? Like, I mean, do they really just leave it up to y'all?
Yeah, there are very few rules with the Wienermobile. Obviously, it's about keeping it safe and keeping us safe and everything. So besides safety first, I'm trying to even think of what...
As long as we represent Oscar Mayer in a positive way, because that is what the Wienermobile is about. As long as you're being smart with what you do, your job is to make people happy. And there's a million ways to do that, especially with the Wienermobile, where people are implicitly already happy. So as long as you do that, you have... And that's, again, one of the cool... unique parts about our job, because not a lot of jobs give you that autonomy, but it's awesome.
So some of those best moments really do come out of when you're just driving around and it's an unexpected stop on the way. You find out that there's a really big sightseeing thing you should do on your drive, and all of a sudden you're at Shoshone Falls in Idaho and they let you in because they're just so excited the Wienermobile's there, and you get some really awesome, you know, photos to send along to the social media team, who will then post them.
All the cities we go to, typically we've never been. So it's like, find out where to do. I've never been to Atlanta. She hasn't been to Atlanta. Our next stop, thanks.
Thank you.
Our next stop's Anniston, Alabama. Can't say I've ever been there. Gainesville, Florida. Like, it's always new.
It takes you to so many different cities, so many different, you know, types of people that you meet on the road, from really huge cities where it's a hustle and bustle to really small towns where you're like, what am I going to do here? And you find out what you're going to do there is really meet people that make these connections that'll last a lifetime. Those are really special.
Are you guys vegetarians?
No, but that's interesting you bring that up. Vegetarians seem to love the Wienermobile. There's something about it. There is something.
Oh, no, someone just stopped and had their photo taken.
Yeah.
Like, go vegan.
And even like when things like that happen, it's usually said with a smile and like they get it. Because it's like you can't not look at a 27-foot hot dog that drives in America and not at least say, do something.
Everyone gets a wiener whistle. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you eat our Oscar Mayer hot dogs or not. Of course, we hope everyone does because we think they're the best.
What kind of mileage does this thing get?
We like to say we get about 75 smiles per gallon. But in reality, it's about a large SUV. It's what you'd expect from a 27-foot long hot dog.
It's very aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic.
You got it. But no, he handles well in the wind. And, you know, we take him everywhere. It doesn't matter the season. You know, our friends, our coworkers are in, you know, cold Wisconsin, Midwest right now. And yeah, hanging strong. Vehicles are still on the hot dog highways. You can't stop.
But I mean, you know, you guys keep like toasty warm in here.
Mm-hmm. And the heating's really good. I mean, the heating, cooling, it all works out. The vehicle is decked out and works like a standard, you know, RV.
A hot dog's just a fancy sandwich, in case you saw the news recently. Oscar Mayer and the question of whether or not the Wienermobile is a sandwich, or if a hot dog is a sandwich, and therefore the Wienermobile would be a sandwich mobile. That was hot news a couple months ago, maybe. That was a really fun time. A lot of debating. But
where do you guys fall in the hot dog sandwich debate?
Hot button. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know if we can say it.
Get out of my Wienermobile.
No whistle.
Yeah. I actually would go with, I think a hot dog is so unique. I say it deserves its own category. True. But you know what? I will back Oscar Mayer with whatever they say.
Very diplomatic answer.
What's on the back here? Look like solar panels. Is that what those are?
Yeah, we do have solar panels.
Three of the vehicles have solar panels on them. Yep.
And actually, it's cool. This is the 2012 vehicle, and this one does have them.
What
so.
Is the power?
Our AV unit right there is powered by the solar panels.
Oh, okay.
Oh, love it.
Does the vehicle have a nickname? Do you guys have a name?
This one's name is Odie because its license plate is our dog. So Odie. Oh, so my last one I drove for 7 months was Yummy, so we just called it Yummy.
Mine out west was Oscar Mayer, which doesn't seem that exciting, but I thought we needed to like spice it up and call him like Papa Oscar or something like that. You know?
How many are there in the fleet?
6 Wienermobiles in the entire country currently roaming America at the moment. And this job is 100% travel, so they are always moving.
We've also got other vehicle, I guess, there's like some spin-offs. So besides the Mini Wiener, which is it's a Mini Cooper built with a Wienermobile on top, so it's a little small one, that's Lil Link. We also have a Wiener Rover, a Wiener Cycle, which is a motorcycle with a little buggy off the side, a Wiener Drone.
Which drops a hot dog.
Yeah. A bag of hot dogs. And Super Hot Dogger. I'm trying to remember if I'm missing anyone. But,
no,
and,
that's him. They're all part of the Wiener Fleet.
All right.
So Super Hot Dogger is a jet-packed superhero.
Can't beat the fleet.
So you've got by land and by air. Are there any plans to extend the fleet to the sea?
You never know. I wouldn't put it past them in the future. We'll see.
Submarine's perfect
shape.
Yeah,
it's perfect shape.
Kids already think this thing is a boat or a plane or you name it. So wouldn't that be cool? See that just like driving or like I guess boating across a lake or something.
Do you guys have plans when your Wienermobile tenure is done?
Future. That is a big question that people ask. So a lot of hot doggers do go on to stay with Oscar Mayer, the company. That's something that is it's encouraged. And it's after working this job, it's a company I'd want to work for. My future is kind of in pencil right now. I'm thinking I want to try Los Angeles out for the acting game. You know, I did enough work. I want to give that a go. But, you know, you meet so many people in this job that I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I met someone who was like, do you want to try this? And I'd be like, you know what? That's fine. Let's go. What are you doing, Haley?
You know, I don't know yet. I was thinking about, do I even want to start applying for jobs yet? Or do I want to just, you know, relish this job in its entirety right now? And I think that's kind of the way I'm going is I'm just taking it day by day because I'm not ready to hand the keys over to the next round of hot doggers. But it is a really unique experience, Lauren. And I think I definitely am ready for another unique opportunity. I'm not ready to just sit behind a desk and do, you know, an ordinary job. I think this job has really showed me you guys don't have an ordinary job. You guys have fun, awesome jobs. That I really want to continue to do something unique where people go, wait, you do what? That's amazing. That's perfect for you.
Speaking of amazing, me and one of the Nutmobile drivers, we think we'd make a great team on The Amazing Race. So we're going to go ahead and send that video in because why not?
Yeah.
So maybe that's in the future for Ketchup Kyle next. Fingers crossed.
What happens to these when they retire? Like, when is this one going to be done? Mm-hmm. And then where does it go? Does it go to a museum?
So, yeah, the vehicles actually are always taken apart and reused and repurposed, I guess, since we only want our vehicles, our drivers. It makes it the most special. So when you see the Wienermobile, you know it's the real deal. You found the drivers. It's a really cool moment. So they'll repurpose them and take what they can from any old vehicles. The one that is in the museum, though, is the 1952, which is the third model.
So the Henry Ford Museum.
And yep, that's the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan. So fans can go check it out there, which is pretty unique. But other than that, they just kind of keep evolving, and I think the memory just lives on. So photos and things like that.
We'll never see this one on Craigslist, then, is what you're saying.
No, never.
How far in advance do you know, like, where you're going?
So this is kind of a cool part of the schedule. You check your email, and instead of it being, like, a boring something silly like that, it says, all right, 4 weeks you're going to Vegas, and then 5 weeks you're going to Los Angeles. So I'd say about a month out we're confirmed. Things are always changing in this job, though, so sometimes, you know, things happen on the fly.
Yeah, you know, I think a couple years ago, Hillary Duff's agent made a call and said, hey, my son's having a hot dog themed birthday party. Could you bring the Wienermobile? And they called up the hot dog and said, turn around, you're going back to LA. So they did. You know, you never know what kind of opportunities present themselves. And we have somebody who coordinates all that for us. So it is nice. It takes the load off our shoulders to do that. And we can focus on, you know, just here's our schedule. Here's what we're going to do. And here's how we're going to make it happen and have a great time doing it.
Are y'all strictly continental United States, or do you go international?
No, we're strictly continental. We have six teams covering all six regions of the country. 2 years ago, we did go to Whittier, Alaska. That was one of the furthest stops the Wienermobile's been. But, plans for now is to just keep it in the U.S.
I believe it's gone to Hawaii as well. I don't know how they got it there. I didn't quite get that far in thinking about it. But it has also been to Spain, which I didn't know, but I have a huge love for Spain since I studied abroad there, and I don't think my friends and family in Spain have seen it, but I'm hoping it'll make another appearance cross-country somewhere.
Is Spain a big hot dog place?
You know, when I was studying there, this is actually really funny, because I knew I wanted to drive the Wienermobile, years in advance. So when I was in Spain, before my study abroad program started, I saw an Oscar Mayer hot dog sign that said, like, pídelo aquí, which is, like, get your hot dog here, like, you know, order it here. And so I took a photo next to the sign because I was all excited. And that was one of the things I sent into my application. I was like, look, I found you in Spain too. And I love it.
It's beautiful. Is it GPS in here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How do you get to these places?
Yeah, we need it. We need it.
Do you ever get stuck in some place that you just find ridiculous, like you can't get in or out, or you're the shape of the vehicle or the size of the vehicle? Or
that is why we have a two-person team, because backing up with a large vehicle, just like any large vehicle, is tough. So we'll back up with two. You just have to be careful when you take it out and look at the clearances and look at a parking lot. Like yesterday we did an interview and they wanted us to pull it in there, and we were like, that's just not going to happen because we're going to get stuck.
Yeah, sometimes we get in a pickle, but that's why it's best to travel with two of us and always be there to have a second set of eyes to help out. One of my favorite puns that I just need to share with you is you can never go incognito. In the vehicle, you are always on display for everyone, especially these front four seats. We like to joke, you know, like, no picking your nose or anything. Like, you will be seen.
Do you kind of even trade off of who drives?
Yeah. We travel about 500 miles a week. So you just, like, if someone needs to, like, this morning I needed to do some work and I was like, do you mind driving? And it's like, it's one of those things you don't even think about really anymore. It's like, I'll drive. Sometimes I'm in the mood, I'm like, I want to drive. I'm like, give me the keys. But it's fun riding in the shotgun seat because you get to see the people's reactions on the road. And there's a microphone, so it's fun. Like yesterday, we were sitting in traffic, and I was like, who loves traffic? Honk it up.
Honk if you love traffic. Oh, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, so that's what makes, like, you could tell these long drives, like, really fun. Like, you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, people think that would be like some of the hardest parts is going city to city, but I think that those are some of our favorite days. Those are like when the two hot doggers get to really bond and like just chat and, you know, you have inside jokes.
It's yeah. your office to get our work done. A lot of the time you get a lot of work done in the Wienermobile too.
We take fun videos. We'll jam out to some sing-along songs, you know, whatever we're in the mood for. It's just fun. And then seeing everyone's reactions, or even if you like are going through a small town. I know when I was out west, we passed through a small town in Montana and everyone found out we were there, including one of the former like bosses of the Wienermobile program. And he like found us at an event and was like, yeah, I heard that you drove through Bozeman, Montana. And so you can't come through here without being seen. So it's just really fun that word gets out, people find us, and we love hearing about it. If anybody wants to find Oscar Mayer on like social media and follow our adventures, on Instagram is a really fun place to see some of the cool sights we've seen with the Wienermobile. So that's at Oscar Mayer. Twitter's got, you know, some fun posts, some schedule posts, kind of a little of everything. And that one's at Wienermobile. And then right now we've got the Wienermobile app, which is the best place to find our locations, our Wienermobile whereabouts, I guess you could say. And that shows about 1 or 2 weeks in advance because, you know, it kind of changes on the dime. Yeah. But, yeah, keep an eye out. And, yeah, we love visiting every city, so we hope to keep meeting more people. Hot dog. Hot dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you all.
It really is and was quite the thing to see. And I love that it was parked around the corner, so I wasn't entirely sure where it was, and Lauren was kind of leading the charge. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, mm-hmm. Then we turned the corner and
it just looms.
Yeah. The big reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. And yeah, we had to stop multiple times while we were doing the interview to for the hot doggers to give weenie whistles to children and some adults who were outside, you know, just oohing and awing over
like waving and taking pictures and smiling.
Yeah. And our producer, Tyler, he came with us and I saw him like climbing up the side of a building as Tyler's want to do to take pictures. So we'll have to find those and post them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We have a little bit more for you, but first we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have.
Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with one quick news item that I have about the Wienermobile. This is from 2007, so it's not like hot off the press or anything like that. But in 2007, a cop patrolling in an unmarked car in Tucson, Arizona, saw a Wienermobile, ran the plate real quick to make sure it was street legal because it was so unusual to him, and it popped up as stolen.
What?
So he pulls over the Wienermobile and detains the driver. What had happened was the Wienermobile's Wisconsin vanity plate, Yummy, had been stolen a while back, and the database had never been updated with the new plate saying that the issue was resolved.
So someone stole the plate off of the Wienermobile.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But this actual Wienermobile was just in the database as having a stolen plate. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah. So all was well, but many excellent headlines were written. Two of my favorites that the New York Times pointed out were cops catch up with Wienermobile and cops hot dog it chase Wienermobile.
Yeah. There's probably 1,000 more out there, too.
Oh, you know? I hope so.
I believe it.
Like, what a gift on press day.
Yes. But,
and also, who's going to steal the Wienermobile? How far do you think you're going to get in?
Goodness, right?
You can spot that from a helicopter, you know, from 100 miles away. It's really, really hard to get away in that car.
Oh, yeah.
You don't blend in too well.
That's Grand Theft Auto, yeah. like mega hard level. Like, that is...
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And something else I wanted to include is the puntastic job listings.
Oh, for the nut humans and the hot doggers.
Yes. And, yeah, if you're thinking of applying, something tells me, listeners of this show, you might be a good fit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the first one is from the Planters Nutmobile. Want a job you can really go nuts for? In all caps, do you have an appetite for adventure, a friendly personality, and boundless enthusiasm? Do you want to represent the Planters brand as a goodwill ambassador through radio and television appearances, newspaper interviews, grocery store and military visits, sport and charity functions? Do you want to meet and greet people from coast to coast? Do you want to work in your own traveling public relations firm, organizing promotions and pitching TV, radio, and print media? If the answer is yes, you could qualify to be an official Planters peanutter.
Oh, peanutter. There you go. That's what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
It was in our outline all the time.
It was there all along. And then the Wienermobile has a really good one. I couldn't find it because I think they've filled their positions.
Oh, yeah.
I shared out after we went to the... we saw the Wienermobile.
Yeah, because they were actively looking for applicants at the time that we met the Wienermobile.
Yeah. I shared out a clip from Stephen Colbert, because he made jokes about it. And I do remember one of the lines was, "Have you always dreamed of working with hot dogs? Do you have an appetite for adventure?"
so good.
Yeah, can you cut the mustard? That was another one, right?
Yeah.
That was one
yeah.
that
Do you
used
relish
that.
The thought of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Relish uh-huh. the opportunity of.
Yeah. yeah. The yeah, whole thing is just like one big pun.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. I did when I responded to Habanero Haley's email. You know, it was so late, like so like late in the possible process of getting them to come to the office the next day that I said something to the extent of like, we would relish a visit, but we wouldn't want to put you in a pickle.
Oh, it's so
See,
good.
See, I think Lauren. That's funny.
And
that's
I think yeah. I think that was the moment that they were like, we need to meet them.
Not bad for the end of a workday, too.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that about brings us to the end of this.
Yeah, Scott, do you have anything more for us?
I probably do, but I'm not gonna say anything else. No, there's many more vehicles out there like this, you know, like vacuum cleaners and
sure.
We've talked about Zippo lighters and patent leather shoes and toothpaste tubes and all that stuff. But I think it's just a fascinating genre of vehicle that I'd love to talk about. It. It's a lot of fun. I love the custom aspect to each one of them. Mm-hmm. I like that it takes a really unique individual to drive something like that and to really be proud of it and promote that product so well. But it's just been a lot of fun talking about them. So I appreciate the invite again to come on your show. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for joining us. And we definitely have to talk about food trucks sometime.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Back. Yeah, I love food trucks.
Yeah, also fascinating processes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and Scott has a few projects in the works. We will keep y'all updated on those. And in the meanwhile, we've been running for a minute, so I think we're going to skip listener mail today. But if you would like to get in touch with us, you can.
Yes, you can find us on email at hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at SaverPod. We do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to Scott Benjamin, but to Scott Benjamin today for sure.
Thank you.
To our super producers, Andrew Howard and Dylan Fagan, thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a golf course.
70 courses.
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding.
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching.
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga.
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park.
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.